Welcome to a classic big interview. This is where we dig into the vaults and choose an episode from earlier in our shows. This time, we've gone all the way back to season 2018-19 and opted for one of our and your absolute favourites. This is what I had to say about it back then. Do enjoy. And now for something completely different. An interview I conducted with the mighty Thierry Henry. It wasn't originally as part of The Big Interview, but instead as part of the filming of Take the Ball, Pass the Ball. That's the documentary that Zoom Sport, Duncan McMath and I have made about Pep Guardiola's Barca team between 2008 and 2012. It's out right now via Universal Pictures. And we've included this extended interview, only small parts of which are in the movie, just to give you a feel for Thierry Henry's excitement and exuberance about the Guardiola style of play and what it cost him to adapt to it. It isn't the usual big interview stuff, but a deeper dive, as the trend is to call it now. It tells you something about what it was like to be part of a team which, the further away we get, I guess many of us think played the greatest football ever. Enjoy this.
My first impression of Pep Guardiola was very good. Why is that? I'm going to tell you. As soon as he knew that he was going to take the team, people knew towards the end, you know. End of the season, people were already talking about him. He wasn't announced yet. And he wanted to meet me. So we met. So first and foremost, already there, I'm like, okay, he's ahead of the game. Because I didn't go on holiday thinking, am I going to stay? Am I not going to stay? Am I going to be in his plan or not? What is it? You know, you don't know. So I met him, and one thing that came out of it is that he wanted me to be in his team. Not a lot of people at the time thought about that one in Barcelona, for the reason that you know, people wanted a change, and I was part of the people that they wanted out. It's a fact. It's true. I'm not against that. Although I think on the personal point of view, I didn't have a bad season at Barcelona. But when you play for a club like that, it's not enough. You always have to reach the impossible. That's Pep. He said, Thierry, what do you want to do? And I was like, what do you mean? I don't know. What do you? He said, no. I want to know if you want to stay. And I was like, you know, typical. I was like, that depends of, you know, what you want to do. You know, what's the plan? I said, no, I want to know if you want to stay. Once I told him, yes, I want to stay, he said, okay, I want you in my team. Very important. He wanted to know if I wanted to stay. Although he had already something in his mind, but he wanted to know if I also wanted to be part of what he had. And we clicked on that. We started to speak. And I always remember, he said to me, you're going to be up against it. Because to turn what people think in Barcelona about a player and how it is sometimes, to turn the crowd around, it's not easy, especially at Barcelona. But he said, I will do everything to make sure that that is going to be possible. And I said, okay, I don't mind a challenge. And, you know, the rest is history.
You're in a beautiful position because clearly this new coach respects you, wants you, and has an idea how you'll play tactically. But the thunderstorm is happening elsewhere because he stands up in his first press conference and says, Ronaldinho out, Eto out.
Deco.
That was shocking.
Deco.
Deco too.
I was shocked, yeah. I was. We're talking about Ronaldinho, Samuel Eto, and Deco. Obviously, only he knew what he wanted to do. Only he had a view of what he wanted to do. We all know what happened. Ronnie left, obviously. Deco left, but Big Sam stayed. And I think for me that you know, whatever the problem that they had with each other, I don't know, in all fairness, because I never saw it like that. But I'm happy that Sam stayed because Sam was more than a big part of what happened before, and then also in Pep's era.
He always said, when you were Arsenal, Terry's my friend. If he comes here, it'll be special. I'm not thinking of the competition. You helped him, I think, acclimatise to the new thing.
the style of playing, the biggest goal total of his career. I think you had a perfect understanding, football-wise, and off the pitch.
Sam is a... I always end up defending Sam sometimes with people. I don't know what view that they have of him. I can tell you he's one of the best teammates that I played with. You ask Samuel Eto'o, you have to play centre-back, he'll do it for the team. You ask him to play goalkeeper, he'll do it for the team. People used to try to read him outside of the field. I didn't go that far, you know, for me. I knew he was going to die for his team, and that was the most important thing. And we had an understanding. You know, whenever I was making a run inside, he was always staying for me and vice versa. So, you know, we were switching a bit less on that side, but there we were all kind of, you know, we like you said, we did have an understanding. But very important that Sam stayed. And I think, and I'm sure you remember throughout the whole summer and preparation, is he going to stay? Is he going to go? Is he going to stay? Is he going to go? And I think that was vital for the treble amongst all the stuff that happens. But vital.
You mentioned the summer. We spoke to several players, including Abidal, who said, I was leaving. I went to Laporta. I wasn't being spoken to like that by Pep. Now, you were lucky because he'd already told you that you were chosen one. You were staying. It was important to him. But there was a brusqueness about Pep.
Pep is, it's not everyone's cup of tea, you know. But I really admire the boss because he's direct at times. And if you're not prepared to take it on board, it might be difficult. Yes, I agree with that one. And yes, to go back to Abby, I remember a couple of training sessions where he literally had to scream at him. And not only him, but everybody to understand what was at stake and what he wanted from each, from every single player. And Abby didn't have that. Abby came from Lyon where he had another way of playing. And because of Pep, now if you fast forward, look at the Abidal that arrived and look at the Abidal 3 years after. Crosses, putting the ball on his chest, putting the ball down, passing it out. Before he would have cleared it straight away, he wouldn't have been that composed in the last third of the field. So yes, difficult to take, but if you understand it, take it on board, then you can have you know what Abidal had staying even longer than me at Barcelona.
You reminded me a little bit of Henrik Larsson in that you were the king of your team, as he was at Celtic. You make a run, the ball goes to Thierry. The system wasn't like that under Pep. To what degree did you have to reset, relearn?
Every single game, because I had a certain way of playing. You know, like you said, Arsenal, when I used to drop, ball comes, I go in behind, ball comes. And sometimes, wrongly so. It is what it is, but you do attract the ball when you reach a certain level. It's like when we were in trouble, it didn't happen often, but when we were in trouble, we used to look at Leo and Sam, and maybe that year, me. But, you know, usually, where is Leo? You know, I remember we played a game at away from home. I think it was Donetsk. We were losing and Leo just scored 2 goals. I don't know how, but I mean, we've seen it after. We've seen it, you know, whatever. That's how it is. But it was more the style of play that I had to adapt to. Staying on the line to make sure that you can free Andres, because he was most of the time Andres playing there. If you come too early, he cannot express himself, so you need to be there, create confusion with the right back. So stay in your position, make the run behind, knowing that 9 times or 8 times out of 10, you will not get that ball. But if you don't make the run, Andres doesn't get the ball. Like he should get it a bit freer, if I can say. So you need to understand that sometimes you need to, sacrifice what you like to do for the good of the team. And when Pep used to explain it to us, and then after we used to go on the field and see that it works, at the end of the game or at the end of the day, we were clever enough to understand that we're all going to win. And that's the most important thing. There were some pattern of play that we needed to respect. And yes, sometimes in big games, if I remember well, you know, some balls that maybe I never used to get, but in big games, guys were clever enough to understand that they had to make those passes. You know, my second goal away at Madrid, when Xavi doesn't usually play that pass that early. But he did. So you play with guys also that understand what they need to do at the time that they need to do it. Very important.
You mentioned Andres, he's joining you in this film, and he told us that in those first couple of weeks, Numancia, defeat, Racing Santander, draw, which is just before the Donetsk game, losing 2-1. He goes to Pep to say, we're with you. We love training. It's going to be all right. See you, boss. Was there a little bit of, were there worries that the start wasn't as good as the preseason training?
Listen, you're talking about that, but I don't know if you remember. When we played Numancia, away from home, I got hammered. I don't think we on the counter, we conceded the goal, and, you know, we had a couple of, we were on them. Then I also don't know if you remember, I was in the stand against Santander, out of the squad. People have a short memory. I was in the stand. And we drew 1-1, I think is Goody scored half foot volley with his left foot out of nowhere, by the way. And we could have lost two games straight away. We lost also the return leg in the Champions League. We should have won that game, but we won 4-0 at home. But anyway, so it wasn't that great right from the start. And people think that Pep had an easy start at Barcelona. He didn't have an easy start. He had to deal with stuff that were difficult to deal with. You mentioned it before. Name that he mentioned, the guy that he said, I don't want them there anymore. Not a lot of managers would have done that at his age. And even so, experienced manager would have maybe thought about it, but he said it. Press conference. Then, like I said to you, he had to deal with trying to put me back on track. Deal with the team wasn't yet playing well. So yeah, he didn't look like we were going to do a treble that season. Far from it.
By winter, I saw what I think is the most powerful four-game run I've ever witnessed. You were central to it. They called it Liguilla, Tourmalet. It was Sevilla, Valencia, Real Madrid, Villarreal. 11-1 on aggregate. Just the most scintillating, merciless football ever. Describe that feeling.
It is great. I say it every single time to my friends. When the ref was blowing the whistle, I used to look at the... I said, already? I didn't want the game to end. I didn't want the game to end. I was like, I'm enjoying this. It's the first time I played in a team where I enjoyed putting pressure. Because as a striker, sometimes it's a burden. You do it because you know you have to do it and that's the way it is. No, I enjoyed putting pressure because we knew what we had to do. We knew what was happening. Everyone knew distances were not far, so I enjoyed putting pressure. I could have run, and I don't think I was in, I said once, at Barcelona, I don't know if I had run like that before in my life, not in a bad way. I'm just saying because of togetherness, was really high, and because we knew what we had to do, and because the distances were close, they were short, sharp distances. So you can do that the whole game. When it becomes difficult to put pressure is when you have a 20-yard run, 20-yard back, 30, 30 back. But when it's 5 or 10, you can do that the whole game.
The pressure yielded you a lovely assist to Messi in the 2-0 victory in the Clásico at home. But by spring, it just went off the scale. I'm going to ask you two particular games. One you must have suffered in, because the Stamford Bridge game, if I'm right, you weren't there.
No, I was, but I wasn't on the field.
Watching.
Yeah.
That must have been hell.
Yeah, knowing I never, personally, on a personal point of view, I never won a Champions League. There is one game that we can say that we were lucky. It was that game. But people always tend to remember the return leg. They never remember the first leg. That was a penalty on me. People always, and it's true, let's all be honest, we were fortunate at Stamford Bridge. I'm not going to hide behind the fact. People, you have cameras, you can see what happened. We were fortunate. But people don't remember that they were fortunate at our place. Yes, Didier missed a 1v1 with Victor Valdez also. Let's not forget that one. But they were fortunate at our place. But people always remember the return leg. So there I was watching it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're gonna lose it. What a goal, by the way, from Chelsea. So, you know, the year before, what a goal from Paul Scholes. Although it came from a mistake from Zambrotta, but what a goal. And then what a goal. I'm like, really, come on. And then little Andres arrived to save the day. I mean, him there, maybe not the guy that you wanted there, but he went in.
He doesn't score many, but they tend to be quite good. 6-2, Terry, 6-2. Is that the most complete game that you've played in? You were vital in terms of passing, pressing, goals, your role that you assumed in there. First of all, how did Pep explain that match to you all tactically? Do you remember the build-up? Do you remember the surprise of what Leo was?
That's when that fake nine whole thing started. That's why I think that Pep remembered, because when you say something to Pep, he stays there. If it's something that he's going to use one day. So he said to us, I remember he said, Sam's going to play on the right. I was already on the left, doesn't matter. And Leo, you're going to kind of play like a fake nine. I want you to drop. But in order for him to drop, Sam and I were always, we had to ask for the ball in behind. Something that we, you know, people always talk about possession. Yeah, we wanted possession, but you need runs also to make sure that you can retain possession in midfield, especially if you were going to have Leo dropping and kind of having an overload in midfield. And in my mind, I was like, that hasn't changed too much for me, because that's what I had to do most of the time, making those runs to three others, because that's the way it was. And he worked out. We started the game being 1-0 down. 1-0 down, and he walked out, because on the, you know, that goal that Leo gave me, that's exactly what happened. He was in a position where they didn't know if they have to come and get him, but I'm running in behind, Sam was running on the other side, and he worked out. But he worked out also because you have players that understand and understood what the boss wanted. Quality was there also to execute it. But yeah, that's how we prepared it. It didn't change too much in terms of what we were doing at the back or in midfield, but that was the big change. I think when people saw Leo there and dropping a lot to play almost at the top of the making it a diamond, if you know what I mean. So you had Busi, you had Andres, and Xavi. Then suddenly you have a diamond with two guys there making runs in between the fullback and the center back. So you have two guys neutralizing four players. So therefore, when one drops, you're enjoying a diamonds against their three. That's what he wanted to do, and it worked out.
I remember you drove Sergio Ramos so wild that he kicked you off the ball and tripped you up just to try and...
That's how I got I got injured in the first half, when he tripped me from behind, and I fell on my knee, and I knew something wrong happened, because I don't know if you remember, they were asking me if I want to go, not go, and I lasted a bit more. I actually, in a way, that injury stopped the end of my season, because after that, I didn't play. I just played the Champions League final. And Andres played the same way that I did play it. I couldn't even bend my knee. Then I've had maybe 5-6 training sessions before that, and after a month. But we were on a mission, so we didn't want to let that one go. But yeah, that game, I so wanted to stay on that field, because I think 6-2 was great, don't get me wrong, but I think that day it could have been way more.
By the Champions League final, I'm going to tell you that I spoke to both Neville and Darren Fletcher about that final. They Fergie briefed them that you were too injured, you couldn't make it. Iniesta's too injured. They didn't expect either of you to play. But before the game, before that beautiful moment where you lift the trophy, the video... You're in Rome and you're called in into the dressing room.
5 minutes before, yeah, we went back in. We went back in 5 minutes before, and all I'm saying is, I'm like, what? We don't know what was happening. We go inside. There's a screen. The boss asks us to stand in front of the screen, and we're basically waiting. And with the music of Gladiator, I think it was, if I'm not making any mistake, we see the whole journey to the final. Sad moment, good moment, struggles, personal point of view, it was great because I didn't know. The week I was trying to make the final of the Champions League, I was training alone when I don't know where they played away, or I don't know where was the game. But anyway, it doesn't really matter. I was working out with the fitness coach, and he put that in. Me trying to come back, Andres trying to come back, guys leaving the field injured, Rafael Marquez against Chelsea, leaving the field. All those emotion. I think, you know what, it was so powerful. It was so powerful that I would say also that the first 5 minutes, it was too powerful. And then Nelly scored. And then from that moment, that woke us up a bit. You know, sometimes when you like deal with emotion before a game, it can go both ways. But I think still it was amazing. But because it was so powerful, I think that kind of made us a little, you know, weak and relaxed at one point. But then after that, the rest was amazing. But I thought still, I would say that was great from Pep.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
For me, where Pep was at times ahead of the game, the fact that Champions League final, in the hotel, family, kids, wives, girlfriend, everybody were inside. When you play for any other team, don't do this, don't do that, no, you know, you have to concentrate. Pep was the total opposite. As much as he was on point to, guys, after midnight, no one out. During the week, don't be late in training. If you're late in training, you don't train. But then, the other part where sometimes you can play a game before a game, he understood that, for example, staying at home before playing a game at home, obviously traveling in the league the day of the game, not the night before. And again, I go back to a Champions League final. Having, you know, people having their kids, family. My brother was in my room, midnight. Girlfriend, friends, we were just talking, having a cup of coffee, chilling. You know, you gave them their tickets already. You don't have to call on the bus. Oh, wait, I forgot 2 tickets, 3 tickets. No, wait, don't call me. No. Cool, you saw them. They saw you. Now again. And I thought that, as much as the video was great, don't get me wrong, I think the big part for me in Pep's approach is how he handled us not going to the hotel. Okay, you can't go out, you can't do this, you can't do that, don't go and watch the tennis, don't stay under the sun, don't go to the Formula One, don't go to this, we're here on a mission. He wanted to know everything, what we ate, whatever. But on the other side, he said, listen, look at what you have. The same thing, the same way it was outside of the field, the same way it was on the field. My job is to bring you into the last third of the field. After, it's on you. So you give me that, I give you the last third. You know, that this way of coaching was something new for me. And, you know, as you know, obviously you living there and knowing about it, the way he sees the game goes far, almost too far at times. I love the way he sees the game. You know, I can talk to Pep about the game for hours. But sometimes he's so ahead, you know, ahead of his time, that he, you know, if you a genius, sometimes people will not understand you. And sometimes by seeing stuff, because he sees a lot of stuff during a game. So sometimes he will change stuff during a game so many times because you saw so many different things. And I would say that sometimes that might be, if you can say that he has a problem, that might be his problem. That he is too clever for his own good at times. And he, how can I explain that one to you? He sees too much. He sees too much. But hey, listen, it's unreal. The way he used to tell us something, that's what we're going to do. Do it, it will work. And it will happen. It really will happen, just like that. Yes, we worked at it. Yes, people will tell you, yeah, but look at the quality you had in your team. Yes, the year before, we didn't win anything, though. You can maybe argue the fact that the squad was maybe bigger and more quality in terms of personnel. So, yeah, Pep is just ahead of his time. I'll say to you again, for me, he's brave. He's beyond brave, and I hope he will never change because he is the future of the game. And he showed it with us. He showed it at, with other teams. But because sometimes he's so clever, he might put some stuff on the field that some guys might not understand. Maybe not in a generation, maybe not our generation, but I'm talking in general.
That's the point I have to make. And that 11 that you're playing in, I think that's the greatest team I've ever seen. Style, competitiveness, beauty of the football. But you have to accept as well, that group, you were all intelligent enough to stay with them. Now, not every player will do that, but that's an undiscussed, unanalyzed part of that treble season. You were all bright footballers.
I think, like I said to you, you can be the best chef in the world, which is, I think, for me, Pep right now is the best, one of if not the best manager in the world. So you can be the best chef in the world. But if I don't bring you any ingredients for you to cook, you're not going to cook anything. So we're not going to see how good you are, how great you are as a chef because you have no ingredients. So we were the ingredients. We were bringing food on the table for you to cook with it. Now, okay, can you do this? Can you do that? Whoa, hang on a minute. That's new. Let me assess it. Let me see it. Let me put my pride on the side also because that team had a lot of guys that are all kings in their country, in bracket. Don't get me wrong. Understand when I say kings, don't think that I'm saying just in bracket. To tell a guy that you used to do maybe stuff or whatever, no, you stay there. Don't do that. Make that run for him. What? What do you mean? I can play football too. No, it's not a matter. It's not about playing football. It's about winning. And we understood that if we had to win, that's what we needed to do. But he gave us a plan. He gave us a structure. He gave us a way to play. He gave us an identity. That was, I mean, talking about Pep again, when have you seen a boss talking to you about, you know, when you do a rondo, a 5v2? Beginning of when he arrived, took me on the side, he said, Thierry, can I speak to you? I said, yeah. He goes, okay, you can play. And I we're just doing a rondo. And I went, no, he said, you play the rondo well. And I looked at him and I went, I didn't know there was such a thing. Play the rondo well. Normally, you know, you do it, you don't get analyzed on the rondo. Do you understand what I mean? You do it normally to warm up and pass time sometimes, you know, before a game, the subs do that. The day before a game to have fun, you know, who's going to net Megu and whatever. No. When you do a rondo with Pep, it's an exercise. You know, are you going to... The two come and put pressure. Are you going to play this guy? Or are you going to play the third man to beat the pressure? Are you going to play in? No, they stay inside, play outside. That's how he used to look at who is who and who does what, who understand what. In a rondo, you know, you were getting judged on. And if you, sometimes the rondo wasn't sharp enough and the ball movement wasn't quick enough, you used to stop it. You know, I've seen bosses stopping a rondo because some guys were at it, you know, and like, guys, come on, we're not going. Not because the ball is not quick enough, not because you didn't pass the ball where you should have passed it. You know, sometimes people play a rondo also to make you go inside. Hey, I got you, you know, like set you up. No, it's not the point of a rondo. And that opened my eyes on a lot of stuff.
He gave you a huge compliment saying that you play it well, because that was the heartbeat of how well the team played. I used to say it was like a thermometer with a patient. You say, how's the team? How are the rondos? Don't ask how's the team, how are the rondos? But I can't let go, but while we're winding towards the end of my questions, I have to ask you clearly about Rome. You'd spent a lifetime playing against Sir Alex Ferguson's teams, Manchester United, winning sometimes, but knowing what a fearful opponent that whole group was. Yet, once you wake up in the final, all of you, the chance goes by, Piqué and Valdés get rid of it from Ronaldo. You score a goal, Iniesta to Eto'o. And after the match, Ferguson said, we were beaten at 1-0 after 9 minutes. No Ferguson team has ever been beaten after 9 minutes. What was that? Tell us from the inside about that performance.
Listen, being able to know what's going to happen, we knew what was going to happen. And don't get me wrong, maybe if Ronaldo scores that goal, it's a different game, you know? It's a different thing or whatever it is. Or I think the opportunity was Ronaldo in the box, right? But we knew. That's the thing. You know when you that season that you know nothing will happen. And I'm going to tell you, people don't remember. Our back four wasn't there. I played, I don't know how I played. Iniesta, I don't know how he played. I'm telling you, there's no way. I think just because of adrenaline and just for the mission that we had. Andres is the same. Yaya played centre back. Silvinho wasn't even playing that season. He played. Puyol played right back. So people knew what we were, but some people were like, can they? You know, people are missing. Two guys are starting injured. But when you know you know when you play against someone and you look at in their eyes and it's over. You know, I a couple of times, you know, I think it was Wayne Rooney, you could see he was trying to get the ball and we were keeping the ball, and you could see the look he was defeated. It was just like, and I remember Sir Alex saying that he never lost against a team like that before, where he felt that he couldn't do anything. And then when the big man says that, he played against a lot of teams, he had to battle against a lot of teams, I would say that he saw it all. But just for him to say what he said, that the game was done after 1-0, after, you know, That speaks volume to how powerful we were and how in control we were on what we were doing.
I've saved my most difficult one for second last. Everybody has talked about Leo Messi, but you're brilliant at analysing, talking about football, and you played with him. Just try and give us a feeling about what it's like for one of the world's great footballers to look at Messi and say, like you said, I'll give the ball to him. Training, first visions, Leo Messi.
Yeah, there's some stuff that you cannot explain. You know, because we have, you know, it's difficult to talk about Leo and put it into our words, because he's not on our planet. And I mean that when I say that, because I've seen him doing stuff that are not normal, and I think I said it once. The best goal I've seen him score was against Malaga at home, because that defy logic what he did. Because the rest of his goals I've seen. The only thing is he did it way better than others. Different. He did it way better than others that I've seen in our history. But that one, it's not normal what he did. It was against Malaga. We won 6-0 at home, I think. Diagonal ball, controlled the ball in his chest. He has a certain way of stopping the ball dead. Although he's at full speed, that's how he does. And he also, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, when he makes that with the outside of his foot, when he stops the ball usually bounces. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. The ball bounces a bit. So he went full speed also. People need to understand, we're not playing rugby. We're not playing basketball. So when you play rugby, American football, basketball, and you want suddenly full speed turn, you can. The ball is here. right? Basketball, you want a ball is here. American football, ball is here. But when you have a full speed and you have to stop the ball with your left foot, by the way, so he stopped the ball with his left foot, but because it is there, now any human being have to put his foot down, readjust itself or himself to touch the ball again. He didn't. No, normally you have to fall. So I tell you again, ball on the side, control it, guy misses it, he goes now on the diagonal, here, full speed. Now he arrives around here, stop, dead, stop. First player goes, second player is just behind it. But he knows that, like I said to you, if he takes another step, that player will clear the ball. It's not possible. It's not possible to stop the ball. Okay, if you stop the ball on your left foot here, how do you go back with that same leg to touch the ball in the air, in between the two to make sure that guy doesn't touch it? Then he almost fell. He almost fell and he smashed it with his left foot, first post, top corner, around here. But he didn't fall. That's not normal. You know, all the dinks and the dribbling, I can understand low center of gravity, but that one, even if you low center of gravity, you have to fall, and he didn't fall that day. Anyway, I can give you another one in training. No, so many, another one in training. You know, when he used to get upset because, you know, in training, if the boss didn't call a foul or whatever, and, you know, he used to go and, you know, oh, it's not a foul? Okay, he used to go get the ball, run past everyone, score. Now you get the ball, you try to go, he runs after you, get the ball back, scores, until he gets in a normal state again and he relaxes, and next thing you know, you're 3-1 down. And I've never seen anyone doing that at any level, especially the players that we had on the field in training. You know, it's not, you know, the two teams were kind of looking at each other like, you know, 8v8, you have players on that field. You know, you have to do that to Yaya, you have to do that to Puyol, you have to do that to Marquez, you have to do that to Abidal, you have to do that to Dani Alves, you have to do that. I'm not going to name the whole squad, but, you know, it's just not normal. You know, I think at one point, just look at the stats, what he did, what he won. It's always the same talk. Is he going to, if he doesn't win the World Cup or doesn't win the Copa America, is he going to be one of the best? He is. And for me, you know, in our era, unreal.
That's almost as good as watching him. That's stunning. That's joyful. Last one is Wembley 2011. You have to watch it. I guess some of them are still their friends. The club is still in your heart. You should have been there. That would have been more beautiful. But watching Wembley, what is it that makes so many... We listened to Just Fontaine, Hitzfeld, Lippi, Capello, Ferguson describing that game like it was a game that had never been played before. The game.
I had an advantage on everybody watching the game because I knew the feeling. So all the guys that you mentioned, or everybody, were trying to understand what it is, how the feeling must be great. I knew the feeling. So I remember watching that game with a smile. I remember watching that game with a smile because I knew. Even when Rooney scored, I said, hey, don't worry. We'll come. This, you could see, everybody could see it, but the difference is I know. I wasn't there on that field, that particular moment, but that was very similar to, again, the same team to what we did in Roma. And listen, when you're in control of the subject, that's what happens. Even if something doesn't matter, the plan will carry us through. Our quality will carry us through. And it did. But to talk about Barcelona, there's something that I want to say, because Barcelona at one point, people were not even looking at Barcelona in terms of, let's see if they're going to win, let's see if they're going to that. When you talk about Barcelona, you're talking about the way they play, the beauty of the game, when people stop me in the street sometimes talking about Barcelona, they don't talk about, hey, guys, the way you used to play was just like, and still now, don't get me wrong, I was, you know you've done something when people just want to look at you to watch you play. Not win, to just want to watch you play. The talk was, have you seen the play? When, even you go home, you go like, have you, you watch the second goal. You don't, and I, by the way, they won. That comes after. And I go back, Pep, final, 2000, Roma. Rome, shall I say. He said, guys, after the video, he said, guys, today, no matter what, we have to stay true to ourselves. He said, at the end of the game, I want people to say that we can play football. Have a good game. And that is for me. It's that's when I was like, yeah, Messi un club. Because I don't know a lot of clubs. Did he mean it? Did he not mean it? He said it. Youngsters, tell me a team, apart maybe from Ajax, that dominated world football, having that amount of youngsters from the academy in their team. Not only role players, the most important players. Messi un club. Again. And when I first saw, I always remember, I made a joke about it. And Xavi had a go at me. And rightly so. He did let me know what was the club. Because I first arrived, you remember, you train at the Camp Nou, and it was before again, my first season, we were struggling. And I'm looking at the seats, and I went, Messi un club, Messi un club, Messi un... No, but, I was like, Messi un club, Xavier, don't speak like that. You're going to understand soon, but yes, Messi un club, and you will see soon. And I just turned, and I went, no, I wasn't having a go. He said, no. Messi un club, yes, you will understand soon. And fortunately for me, I had the opportunity to understand it, But those guys let you know when you're out of order or when they think you're out of order or the fans will let you know. The press definitely will let you know. But, all this type of stuff for me where when I started to understand the club, and it is for real more than a club.
They let you into the family because of how good you are. They let you into the family. You became part of the family. Second, you played in the most beautiful football team ever. You starred in the most beautiful team ever. Football isn't really played like that. And that's why we're here, out of passion and respect.
Barcelona, for me, is an example. And I'm not saying that because I played there. Everybody knows, obviously, the love that I have for Arsenal, and that's hard. And that also will never change. But to be able to attract me from Arsenal to go there, that says a lot also. And I don't care where you're from. I don't care. If you tell me that you love football and you don't love Barcelona, you have a problem.
Thank you for listening to The Big Interview. It's produced by me, which sounds egotistical, but it's also true, Graham Hunter, and Backpage. Our music is by Beer Jacket, who else? Editing by Charlie McGarry. Thank you to our hosts at Acast and our loyal sponsors at Bet365. We're also supported by our socios. Find out how to become a socio, how to support us, at patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Here endeth the lesson.